Good morning, listeners. Today, we are concluding the series, Lessons for Life, from the book of Daniel. Our focus will be the prayer life of Daniel. Let's start with a brief summary of Daniel's life. The book of Daniel begins in 605 BC, when Babylon conquered Jerusalem and exiled Daniel, his three friends, and others. Daniel served under four world rulers, Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius, and Cyrus. His life was one of integrity and uprightness, exemplified from the outset by a refusal to compromise by partaking of the meals apportioned to him and his friends by the order of King Nebuchadnezzar. We read in Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." He won the battle by acting in faith, requesting that he and his companions be served vegetables and water for a period of 3 years, after which they proved superior in knowledge, wisdom, and appearance than those who ate the food designated by the king. In Daniel chapter 2, we see him resorting to seeking God for knowledge of the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had and its interpretation, both of which were given following an all-night prayer meeting. In chapter 6, his prayer life was identified as the only thing that could be found to bring an accusation against him to King Darius, the then reigning monarch. Daniel knew of the plot to eliminate him out of jealousy. In other words, bad mind. But persisted in prayer without fail. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Daniel 6 and verse 10. Daniel chapter 9 records one of the most moving prayers in the Bible. In the first year of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, "O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to your kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off, in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness they have committed against you." Daniel 9, 1-7 and 15-16. Various aspects of the passage give rich instruction regarding prayer. True prayer is in response to the word. I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Verse 2. Daniel was clearly a man of the word. He was, in fact, referring to Jeremiah 29 and verse 11. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Not only did he know the word, but he believed it. Effective prayers are always based on the word. God is zealous to perform his word. Then the Lord said to me, "You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." Jeremiah 1 verse 12. God has covenanted to keep his promises. And when we pray in faith, we activate those promises. We should note that Daniel's prayer was characterized by fervency and self-denial. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth and ashes. Verse 3. James the Apostle tells us, "The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." James 5:16b. In other words, the energetic, passionate prayers of godly men have the power to accomplish much. The gospel writer Luke wrote of our Lord, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. How desperate are we to be in prayer, especially today? How sincere are our prayers? How fervent? Luke 19:41 records, "And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it." This was in reference to Jesus and his compassion for the people of Jerusalem who had rejected him. Are we moved with compassion for our nation that is imploding from crime and violence and other social ills? Our prayers like that of Daniel. Daniel identified unselfishly with God's people. "We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments." Verse 5. By God's standard, Daniel was a righteous man. However, he identified himself with God's sinful people who had nationally rejected his laws and decrees. The angel Gabriel communicated to Daniel from heaven and said what heaven thought about him. "At the beginning of your supplications, the command went out, and I have come to tell you, for you are greatly beloved." Verse 23. Yet, like Nehemiah before him, he identified with the sins of his people. Nehemiah 1:6-8. God's people, Christ's followers, should pray like Daniel and Nehemiah, with fervency and passion for our beloved nation and the world that God so loved that he sent his only begotten Son to die for its salvation. Daniel's prayer was without doubt strengthened by confession. Verse 5 to verse 15. He outlined in graphic details the nature of Judah's sins. We must call out our sins and the sins of the nation if we are going to pray effectively like Daniel. Another key aspect of this prayer, this great prayer, is that it was dependent on God's character. "And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments." Verse 4. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Verse 9. Finally, Daniel's prayer has as its goal God's glory. "Oh my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplication before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Verses 18 to 19. Ultimately, our prayers must seek to glorify God. What lessons can we learn from the prayer life of this great man of God, commended by heaven itself? One, we must acknowledge God's awesomeness, power, and majesty. That is the seedbed of faith. Prayers must be based on the word of God, his covenant promises to his people. He watches over his words to perform them. Prayers must incorporate confession, owning of our personal sins, identifying with sins of the nation and, yes, the church. Prayers must be fervent and sincere, not just well-crafted words, but heartfelt and genuine. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16b. May the life of Daniel, the prayer life of Daniel, the lessons we have learned continue to inspire us and to give us the impetus, the drive to be excellent, to be our best in service. God bless you.